You're listening to the Nitty Gritty Podcast with Jen Gall and Shona Hutchings, where they discuss the nitty gritty of creative entrepreneurship. It's episode 17 of the Nitty Gritty Podcast, and today we're talking about our biggest mistakes when starting a business.
And there's probably a lot more than the couple we're going to talk about, but I feel like this is something that is really important to acknowledge, because I think talking about our successes are like, yay, wins, but we learn more from our failures than we do our successes, so.
Yeah, of course.
All right, so my biggest failure as, or biggest mistake, my biggest failure, my biggest mistake certainly has been assuming that all of the processes and systems I've put into place will work for every client. So if you listen to any of our previous podcasts, you would know that I'm like obsessed.
You say processes and systems at least once an episode, for sure.
There should be like a game for that.
Yeah.
How many times?
Drinking game.
How many times does Jen say this? But that I think has been such a hard challenge for me, is because like I'll set something in place that I think works the best for my own efficiency or for one client's efficiency, and then I go and try and implement it with someone else, and it's like complete failure, and then I end up, you know, missing steps or like things don't end up working out, and then I'm like almost back at square one, or I have a client being like, where's this or what's happening with this, and it's just because I have to like figure out a whole new system or mm-hmm. figure out a whole new way to handle this new circumstance that I was never expecting. So kind of assuming that all of my clients fit inside this box, even if they're the same industry, like it's so different, because I know we've probably mentioned too that like when you're working in the service-based industry, like you're managing people as much as you are mm-hmm. managing the project you're working on. So I feel like that has been an ongoing challenge for me. And I, like, total transparency, I've probably lost clients because just the way that,
like, the systems weren't working for them.
Yeah. And that's mm-hmm. bound to happen as you go on as well. But it just kind of was one of those things that I had to figure out, and it's unfortunate.
Do you want me to talk about mine and we'll go back to one of yours?
Go for it.
Okay, so we beat to death the idea that you should have a contract. And the reason that we say that is probably because my biggest mistake when first starting out my business was that I wasn't giving people contracts. So talk about hypocritical. But totally, yeah, not having a contract right set from the beginning basically just set myself up for failure. So I had no leg to stand on when people were doing some things that I didn't want them to be doing with mm-hmm. my images or with the services that I was offering. And because I didn't have a contract to go back to, I basically was SOL. So yeah.
Not have a contract.
Yeah. So not having a contract was a big, big mistake. So it's definitely important that you do that. And I learned obviously from my mistake and now have a contract in place for both lifestyle and branding photography.
I feel like that being said though, like I know our contract has changed so much since we started. And so it's like, even if you have a base contract from the beginning, it doesn't need to be anything like crazy or, I mean, put as much detail as you possibly can into it. But as you continue and as you like grow with clients and you learn from clients, for example, if, you know, you're offering one thing and maybe you need to kind of reevaluate that and switch that up, like your contract's going to develop as you develop as a business owner too.
Mm-hmm. Just put in your contract when you make one from the beginning that you have the right to change the contract, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which some people forget it. So then you think once they sign a contract, they, like, that's it. You can't do anything with it. So just when you're creating a contract at the beginning, if you're not sure if what you put in there is going to be what you want in the future, just put a line saying that you have the right to change the contract.
Well, that's something that we've even done where we work with a client for 3 months and then we like reevaluate what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So then we like re-sign a contract, and that contract typically is like a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, that's when we can kind of like reevaluate it, because obviously you want the client or the person you're working with to also feel comfortable that you're not just gonna like come back to them in like 2 weeks and say, actually, you're paying more.
Yeah.
So it's kind of to protect you, but also to protect your client. That being said, I think we're actually deciding whether or not we're changing our services month to month, or
oh really,
signing on for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
I haven't decided yet. If anyone's doing that.
Quite honestly, it's not that scary to have a stipulation in your contract that says we have the right to change our contract or to change our prices, because like everybody signs cell phone contracts that literally say
those same things
and no one ever reads them. They're just like, I just want a new phone and here we go, take all my money. And like they say that they can change the prices and they can change the contract with prior knowledge, obviously. Like they have to let you know that they're doing that, but they have the right to like change how much you pay monthly.
Isn't that the same thing when they do like rental increases?
No, rental increase is a little bit different because there's a stipulation on the percentage that they're allowed to increase
Right.
Whereas with some other contracts, it's just like you went from $60 to $95 a month. Congratulations.
So, you're a winner.
But I mean, if companies did that all the time, they'd go out of business. So
yeah.
It's usually in there just to protect yourself so that if you find out that the contract that you did have in place is no longer working for you, that it gives you an option to change it. But yeah.
Error on the side of caution of that, I guess.
Just yep.
Do it.
Did you say error on the side of caution?
I think I did.
Awesome. Error on the side of caution. That's awesome.
Okay. Oh, it's been a long day. Yeah. So one of the other things that I've been thinking a lot about recently is adding too much to my plate. And that's specifically in regards to services or the offerings that we have. I think it was like in our 2019, like kind of what 2018 looked like and what we're looking at in 2019. I have no idea what episode that was. But I talked about how like the phrase for my year was like back to basics, and that's kind of like been stuck in my head more so recently because I feel like I get so excited with all these ideas and all these new services that I feel like I'm almost losing value with some of the things that I'm like we're really really good at, mm-hmm. and it's not being promoted or communicated properly, whether it's to current clients or to new clients. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like I don't know when it happened, but like when did more mean better?
Yeah,
because it's kind of like, I see that all the time whenever I go to landing pages and like, you know, like infomercials where it's like, and you get this.
Yeah, yeah.
And this.
For only like, $49.95 a month.
Yeah. Three installments of $49.99. Yeah. And I don't know when that like concept happened where if you add more and more and more and more and more that it meant that it was better. Whereas really it's kind of like taking away from what the actual value is that you're offering. Mm-hmm. So that was something that like, we reevaluated our social media management packages, and now I'm like actually pulling back on some of them because mm-hmm. I was like, this is way more than I think I should have been offering at the price I was offering it at. And I feel like that concept, like you don't know what's too much until you're at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we've kind of hit that point. So we're kind of, I know we're pulling back a little bit and kind of reevaluating what we really, really want to do and do really well, because more does not mean better. You're just going to take away from mm-hmm. the true value and like what you do really, really well.
Well, that goes to I literally have this conversation with my students all the time. And this is not obviously an entrepreneur thing. It's like a general knowledge thing, but it's always quality over quantity.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'd rather pay for you to do a service for me that's going to be really good than for me to pay a bunch of services that it might be subpar.
Oh, it's yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think as a business owner, it's so easy to get caught up in all these like cool ideas and all mm-hmm. these like fun things you want to do. And it just that there comes a point where it's like you need to know where to edit.
Yeah.
And like where to trim down. I learned that on Project Runway, friends. Gotta edit some more. Make it work.
Yeah.
But yeah, so definitely assuming that all my processes and systems fit every client and adding too much services and offerings have been something that I've been struggling with a lot recently. And I'm like ready to edit.
Okay. Speaking of editing, one of my other mistakes when starting my business was over scheduling and undercharging. So I think because when I started in brand photography in the London area, there were not a lot of other photographers who were doing it. It was like not really a thing originally. I'm sure like larger corporations obviously were having brand photographers and like corporate photographers and whatnot. But in terms of like people trying to curate their social media feeds or their social media marketing in general, it wasn't really a photographer's offering that was going on in London. So I didn't really know, like I didn't really have anywhere to turn to decide what I should be charging because I wasn't going after large franchises. I didn't want to sell copyright to images. I just wanted to help people create feeds that they were proud to show. So because I didn't really have anybody to go off of, I think I was undercharging my services. And because of that, because I had an idea in mind of how much money I wanted to make, I was overscheduling myself.
Mm.
And because I was doing that, it made it very difficult and very stressful for me to get all the editing done that I needed to do. Because I'd be like looking at my calendar and I'd be like, okay, it's the summertime. I'm totally available. And I would like schedule things like every single day and sometimes like multiple times in a day. And then I'd get home and be like, crap, I have all this stuff I have to edit. But then I'd only really have that night because then the next day I'm going to have another shoot. And now I'm going to have to edit those photos. And it would just like pile up and pile up and pile up. And then it would like become stressful and I'd feel overworked and I would never be sleeping. And it just became an issue. So overscheduling myself and undercharging was for sure an issue. And then if you go back a while ago, we talked about raising your prices.
Mm-hmm.
So the do less better thing. Right. So that was my goal for 2019. So in order to do less and to do it better, I had to have quality editing and quality shoots that I was doing. And therefore that meant I had to raise my prices to do less shoots to still make the same amount of money. Mm-hmm. And I still quite honestly think I'm undercharging a little bit.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. Maybe I'll reevaluate that in the summertime. We'll see. Here's your warning, friends. There you go. So yeah, that's my two were obviously contract and then overscheduling myself and undercharging.
And I think it's okay to like have these kind of, I'm going to say like big mistakes or like what you feel like are
failures. Learning opportunities.
Yeah. Like I would expect that to happen no matter what level you are in business. Like I still expect myself to be doing this and be making mistakes 5-7 years. Where's wood? I need wood to knock on to make sure I'm still in business in 5 years.
I just have cork. There's no wood in here. This is IKEA desk. It's probably made of cardboard.
I'll find some later.
You can use this. No. There you go.
Yeah, so that I ideally, you know, I want to still be making mistakes. Like that's something that we focus a lot on in our business and in like our team meetings as we like acknowledge all of these failures or at least one failure that we feel like we've had in the past month, just because like if you're not reflecting on what's happening, then you can't make changes and you can't learn and you can't grow and you can't raise your prices and make more money or find better value in what you're offering. So here is your action for this podcast.
Ooh, we're giving you homework.
We're giving you homework. Go and not go, but just like think about something that you have found as a challenge, something that you want to change, and like actually reflect on it and like see or maybe you're struggling with something and like what steps do you have to take to kind of like reevaluate what that looks like.
Yep.
Do it, because I also find that sometimes that those are the things that you, like, don't want to even, like, think about.
Oh, God. I knew that not having a contract was wrong, but I didn't want to have to deal with that problem because I was too busy overscheduling myself and undercharging.
Yeah.
But totally, you got to you got to think about the things in order to fix them.
So just at least one. Mm-hmm. End this podcast and at least write out one and then tag us in it because I totally want to see.
Yeah, we're curious. And if you want to keep it anonymous, you can message us and then we can post it for you if you'd like.
Yes.
Because sometimes telling people your mistakes could be embarrassing.
Can be not.
Wait, I'll embarrass myself. Okay, I was a French immersion student. This is just so that everybody feels open and is fine with sharing things with us. But as a French immersion student, we learned a lot of French idioms. So idioms are things people say to that don't mean exactly what they mean in English. So for example, like, I know it like the back of my hand doesn't mean like specifically
the back of your hand.
So that's an idiom. So because I learned to speak French for the majority of time while I was in school, before I would learn English in French immersion school, I thought that play it by ear, but like the organ on your body, I thought was play it by ear. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would they say play it by ear? So there you go. That was a mistake that I've made in my past about an idiom. Now I understand. And you know what? What's really embarrassing about that story is I didn't realize that until like 2 years ago.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I'll tell you one of mine. So when I was getting hired at one of my past retail jobs, I was in the interview and there was a woman who was interviewing me and there's a gentleman who was on the computer. And I was asked this very, like, it felt like a very obscure question as to, like, let's say, for example, there was an issue and I would have to go to someone to ask a question. And I was, like, so confused. I did not understand what I was being asked. And I, like, sat there with, like, the biggest question mark on my face. And the interviewer, she, like, pointed at this board, which was just, like, the roster of everyone. She's like, well, who would you go to? And then it clicked. And I was, like, oh, like, you want me to see, like, point someone out on the rooster. And
oh, I'm like, oh my.
The gentleman who was sitting there was our general manager.
That's awesome.
And he turned around and we all burst out laughing. Like, it was like hysterics. Like, the people, it was where the interview was happening was in the same room as, or a room off of, like, the break room. There were people in there and they could just hear us like boisterously laughing. I got that job because all we did was just laugh at ourselves.
That's
after.
So funny.
And then my nickname for the next 2 years was Rooster. So
there you go.
I know it's not entrepreneur related, but just laugh at yourselves, guys.
Like, mine wasn't entrepreneur related. Whatever. It's on the air now.
There you go.
Okay. So think about your mistakes, reflect on them, and let us know what have you learned from. You can either DM us on our social media at Hutchings & Co. or at something simple with an underscore as the E. Or you can DM either one of us.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. And feel free to check out our show notes as well.
Yeah, we figured we'd give you a shorter episode this time since you guys hung on for the hour and 20 minutes last one. So there you go. We're cutting it off 18 minutes and we'll see you next week.
See you later, guys.
That's all for this week's podcast with Jen Gall and Shona Hutchings. Tune in next week for more nitty gritty.